We arrived at the lodge just before dusk. My bride was nervous and irritable and had the servants who came out to greet us scurrying in all directions. There was a meal prepared in the panelled dining room with a cheery blaze in the grate, and all looking mighty snug and inviting. But she excused herself and went off above stairs with her lady-in-waiting and a cloud of lackeys hovering in her wake. However, we menfolk were sharp set and fell on supper with a will, and after that the port and brandy, and before long we were making a good roaring evening of it. What with sensing that our haughty highness was out of sorts, and the food and wine, I was in excellent trim, and although de Côté was his usual saturnine self, I was growing to loathe that sleek, silent smile. Rudy and the two Strakensians took their cue from me and caroused like cricketers. For all their other faults, I must own that Germans are excellent fellows at a gorging and drinking party. Rudy was in fine fettle, with his tunic undone and his curly hair a-tumble, leading the singing in a capital baritone. But his eyes were still bright and clear. I doubt if he was ever the worse for drink in his life, that one. I was ladling the liquor down at a fair rate, and had just reached that state where I began to search for mischief, when a footman brought down word that Her Grace the Duchess was about to retire, and requested that the disturbance of the evening should cease. At this the others fell silent. Rudy sat back in his chair and smiled into his glass. The Strakensians glanced uneasily at each other. I got to my feet, staggering a little and upsetting my chair, and said that if Her Grace was retiring, so was I. I bade them good night and walked, rather unsteadily, I imagine, to the door. One of the Strakensian aides jumps up and asked, could he help my highness? No, thank you, my son, says I. I'm of age, you know. At which he fell back, blushing, and as I strode out I heard Rudy laughing and calling out, gentlemen, a toast, the Prince Karl Gustav Kuppelt, if you follow me, with Her Grace the Duchess of Strakens. I blundered upstairs, shed my clothes in my dressing-room, thrust Yosef out, threw on a gown, and strode through into the bedroom. I was full of booze and lewdness, and the sight of Irma, caught unawares, standing there in a white nightgown, did nothing to sober me. Her cold, proud beauty brought out the worst in me. I threw off the gown, and she shrieked and covered her eyes. "Cheer up, little wife," says I. "There won't be any more singing downstairs." And I stooped and whipped the nightdress clean off over her head. She gave a little cry, and since I maintain that the best way to deal with nervous females is to treat 'em hearty, I lifted her up bodily, popped her on, and stumped round the room singing, "This is the way the ladies ride, trit-trot, trit-trot, trit-trot." As near as I can remember, I sang it in English, but I doubt if she noticed. At all events, I know we've finished the business on the bed, with me laughing weakly and babbling about hobble-tee, hobble-tee, and down in a ditch, and assuring her that she was a damn fine duchess and a credit to her country. I suppose I dozed off, but I woke up and had at her again, and being slightly more sober by this time, I was aware that she lay as still as a corpse and didn't enter into the fun of the thing at all. If it had been any other woman, I'd have smartened her up with a few cuts across the rump. But with a duchess, one ought to practice patience, I felt. And I was right, you see, because after that I went to sleep, leaving her lying there with her eyes closed, like a beautiful ghost in the candlelight. And what should awaken me, I don't know how many hours later, but a tiny hand creeping across my thigh and long hair snuggling up to my face, and I thought, well, dammy, royal or not, they're all alike under the skin. I was beat, I can tell you. But one must act like a gentleman, so I went to work again, and this time she clung like a leech. Just like Elspeth, I remember thinking, all chaste purity to look at, maidenly beauty personified, and Randy as a monkey.